Take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. All right. Now here's the deal. We're going to have some fun every night. I'll do that probably every night. We'll see how it goes. But I'll ask you to do this. When we have the fun stuff, have a great time. When we turn to the Bible, then we're going to get quiet, okay? I can't overtalk 100 of you. And what I've got to say is going to be a great help to you. Now, for those of you that were here last year, you'll know some of the things I'm going to say. But for those of you that are new this year, how many of you, this is your first time at the camp here this year? All right. Good. Good number of you. Awesome. I talked to a number of people today, said it was their very first time. Now, here's what I want you to do. I do want you to sit up. Don't get too comfortable because you're going to fall asleep, especially around the end of the week. All right. I promise I won't preach too long. I promise you that because I know that you're going to get tired. It's hard to pay attention when you're getting tired. But I do want to give you some good stuff. And what I want you to do, and I ask teenagers this all the time when I preach, I'm going to ask you to be completely honest with me. All right? Would you do that? It's going to be brutally honest. Some of you are going to have to admit some things in your life. You're going to have to admit to maybe doing some things, maybe not doing some things that you should be doing. And I'm going to get you to be honest. I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself. I'm going to ask you to be honest with God, and at times I'm going to ask you to be honest with me. Now, this is what I'm going to do for you. I am going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to share some things from my life. I'm going to share some things from my ministry, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. If you'll be honest with me, I can help you. If you deceive me, and if you try to deceive yourself, and especially if you try to deceive God, you're not going to get anything this week. The reason we're here is so that you can examine your life and see what you might be able to do to either, number one, be a Christian, or number two, be a better Christian. Now, I want to tell you something. For those of you that don't know, I come from the country of Canada. I'm a Canadian. I was born and raised there. Thank you. Thank you, Canadian followers. All two of you. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, yes, thank you. I can't see that far, but thank you. Oh, we'll talk about that later. That's a sore spot, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you some things, all right? All right, so being from Canada, I want to let you know that I have traveled to almost every part of our nation of Canada, and I've had the privilege of visiting many of the United States. I've had the privilege of preaching in many parts of the world. I want to tell you something, that I preach a lot to young people. That's my favorite thing to do. I've had some wonderful times. We had a great year last year. We'll probably never reproduce what happened here last year. I think we had 25 campers saved. We had some tremendous decisions made. I preached a message on hell that some of you still remember from last year. It's a very awakening message. And as I travel and preach and meet young people, I want to tell you something, that I'm very nervous about your generation. I'm scared for your generation. I'm scared for our church in this generation. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm going to preach hard at the young men that are here this week. Because, fellas, we don't have a lot of great Christian guys today. We've got good Christian guys. We've got guys that are going to church. We've got guys that will listen to preaching, but to have guys that say, I want to go to church, and I enjoy going to church, and I take my Bible to church, and I read my Bible. Joseph, if you're doing those things, God bless you. I'm looking for guys like you. I really am. And I want to say this, that in a crowd like this that has mixed nationalities, we have some African Americans, we have some Hispanic Americans, we have obviously some Caucasian Americans, we have different nationalities and backgrounds from all kinds of different places. I want to tell you something, Joseph. Here's what I want you to pray about. Joseph, Black America needs preachers desperately. Desperately. Being a lawyer, I'll tell you the truth. When I went to school, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. I thought, man, that'd be cool. I love law. I love watching the court cases. But I'll tell you what, I gave my life to Christ and God called me to preach. Joseph, you could be a preacher of the Word of God. If you have that presence, you have a great presence in front of people. You weren't nervous in front of people. You did a great job. You got a great sense of humor. God can use those things. And fellas, there are guys from different nationalities here. I don't care if you're white, yellow, red, or black. God can use you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need some preachers. And Dr. Carter's here, he would tell you, he knows as well. As we travel, we're seeing the number of preachers dwindle, and we need guys to preach. Now, to do that, you've got to be sharp. To do that, you've got to love the Word of God. To do that, you've got to have the power of God upon your life. And I'm not seeing that in our young men. Now, young ladies, that's bad news for you, too. Because, young ladies, I know that you're looking for a young man that will take the Word of God and know it and deliver it and lead you and your family in the things of Jesus Christ. You want a guy that's sharp. You want a guy that takes care of himself. You want a guy that's going to protect you. You want a guy that's going to treat you like a princess and tell you every day how much he loves you and how beautiful you are. That's what you're looking for, ladies. Am I right? Yeah. I got bad news. We're missing a few of those guys. But the good news is, I'm here. And by the end of this week, these guys are all going to be exactly what I'm talking about. We hope. All right? It's a lot of work, and I have a short amount of time. All right? So, here's the deal. Over this next week, we're going to look at some things, and I'm going to be very, very honest with you. In fact, I think we're going to do something, if I can get Brother Post to let me do it. I want to do a split session, probably in one of the morning sessions, and I'm going to speak to just the guys. And guys, I'm going to speak very plainly to you. I'm going to tell you some things today that I'm seeing as a preacher that I'm having to deal with that I think a lot of guys are struggling with today. And ladies, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you from a man's perspective and a man's viewpoint and tell you what's wrong with some of our girls today and some of the things that are maybe in your lives that are causing you and maybe others to have a hard time with their Christianity. And I'm going to be very honest. Now, I am going to joke around a fair bit. I do like to joke and I do like to kid. And I want you to know this. If I do, if I have you come up here and do this, or if I say something to you, I do not want to hurt your feelings. I do not want to hurt you. I promise you. If I do this and you get your feelings hurt, please don't, because I'm just having fun. We're not trying to hurt anybody. And if you absolutely don't want to do something, you say, I don't want to do it, that's fine. I understand that, okay? But most people, by the end of the week, are saying, hey, Pastor, if you want to have me up, you know, people want to do it because it's fun, and you do get to see other folks. So I will do that. Please don't get upset. If I don't pick you, don't get upset. I can't have everybody. We don't have any time for that. I just kind of, at random, I'll pick that. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. When I ask you to do something in the preaching, I want you to respond. If I say amen, say amen. All right? Say amen.
Amen.
Not good enough. Say amen.
Amen.
Girls, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. Usually I get amen, and then I get amen. I like that. That's good. Got some manly men in here, all right? That's good. I'm going to ask you, maybe not tonight, but in the next couple nights, I'm going to give a public response for you to come to the altar and spend some time with the Lord. And I want you to be open to that. You may not do that in your church. I don't know. You may not be used to that. You might say, well, I just can't do that. I'll tell you why I like folks to come forward, because it puts you on the spot to keep that commitment. Some of you made some commitments last year. Some of you started out. Some of you got saved. That was awesome. Some of you started going on visitation. I remember Brother Potes sent me some pictures of the youth group here at Haines City at Landmark, and they had a great number of young people going out on visitation. I don't know if everybody's still doing those things. And the reason we have camp like this, and the reason we do this, is so that you can get away from the world, you can get away from your home, you can get away from your friends, and you can come back and ask yourself, where am I since last year? Now, hopefully you'll say this, I am more for Christ than I was last year. If you say, I'm not as much as I was, then we got to catch up. Because young people in the Christian life, when we get born again, it's just like being born physically. We should grow. We should be able to learn some new things. We should take things on in our lives. If you don't, then we worry about that person physically if they don't do those things. If a baby doesn't walk by the time they're a year and a half old, we think there's something wrong. If they don't speak by a couple years of age, if they don't walk right, if they don't communicate properly, we get upset and we get concerned and we say that child is behind. And a parent worries about that. In our Christian lives, the same thing. These men that are around you here tonight as counselors and some as preachers and some in the audience that are preachers, they want you to progress in your Christian life. They want you to grow, and they want you to be able to take the Bible and read it, and they want you to be able to stand up in front of others and declare it. And they want ladies to live the Christian life and show themselves as a Christian young lady and bring other people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you're not doing that, you're not progressing. And if you're not progressing, we get worried. Because someday, I won't be able to do this anymore. Someday, I maybe will lose touch with young people. Maybe I won't be able to do it physically. Maybe I'll just get to that point where I just can't do it. Who's going to take my place? Who in this room tonight would say, I will stand in that gap? Dr. Carter is not always going to be able to pastor the Landmark Baptist Church. Your pastor is not always going to be able to pastor your church. Who is going to take their spot? You're probably thinking, well, it'll be someone else. Why not you? You know what? Their wives aren't always going to be able to be the pastor's wives. You know, the pastor's wife is a tremendous ministry in itself. We don't often think about that, but I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you this, and any pastor in this room will tell you this. No pastor is able to do his job effectively without a good wife behind him. My wife is so smart. She gives me so much good advice. I love her and appreciate her. And I'll tell you what, girls, there are young men in this room tonight that are going to need a good, godly woman to stand behind them. And you've got to prepare yourself now. You've got to determine that you're going to keep yourself for that ministry. It might not be a preacher's wife. It might be the deacon's wife. It might be the Sunday school teacher's wife. It might be an usher's wife. But all of those men need a woman that will stand behind them, and you've got to prepare yourself for that. Could I tell you why I think we're missing a lot of great young men in our countries today? Because we're missing a lot of great women in our countries today. Because our women's liberation movement has changed femininity. It has changed womanhood. And a lot of people think that without that, that women are no good and degraded and that they're not treated equal. I want you to know something. A good Christian man appreciates a good woman. And a good Christian man will treat her right, and he'll love her and respect her, and he'll take her advice, and he'll hold her in esteem. That's what Christianity does. And we should. Sometimes we don't. Now, let's get started tonight. I want to give you that just to lay the ground rules. I want to give you this message tonight. You're not a loser. You're a weirdo. Would you say that with me tonight? You're not a loser, you're a weirdo. One more time, nice and loud. You're not a loser, you're a weirdo. I wrote this message a number of years ago, and I haven't preached it for a long time, and I actually went back and rewrote it and added some things to it, but I had someone come to my church a couple weeks ago, a beautiful young lady. She had 3 children, her husband, and she said, Pastor Stone, I remember when you preached the message, you're not a loser, you're a weirdo. And she said, I absolutely love that message, and I still remember it to this day. And I thought, well, if that impacted her life, I hope it'll do the same thing for you. Let's say it one more time. You're not a loser, you're a weirdo. A loser, according to dictionary.com, is a person, a team, a nation, etc., that loses. Makes sense? A person who has failed at a particular activity. We had 2 teams that participated today and tried to get some points, and we had 1 team that won. And we had another team that were losers. Hooray! Hooray! We're losers! Hey! You're not a loser. You're a weirdo, all right? A loser is someone or something marked by poor quality or performance. It's a misfit, especially someone who's never or seldom been successful at a job or personal relationship, etc. Now, we often use it to describe someone who doesn't measure up to a personal standard. We would look at a guy and say, that guy's a loser. And a lot of girls would look across this camp and say, those guys are losers. And some guys are on the other side of the camp and they're looking over at some girls and they're saying those girls are, no, they're saying they're hot. That's what they're saying, they're hot. No. They might say they're a loser. Now, why would we say that guy's a loser? Because he doesn't meet up to a standard that we have set. Now, to one girl might say, that guy's a loser. Another girl might say, no, he's not. I think he's awesome. I think we saw that up here tonight, didn't we? Didn't we see that tonight? Several girls said, Joseph's a loser, but not. I don't want to say any names, but he's no loser. Good. Why is he a loser? Because he doesn't meet our standards. Some guys might say of another guy, look at that loser. Why is he a loser? Because he doesn't fit into the bracket or the mold that we have, that we've set for ourselves. I've heard people say things like this: Christians are losers. I've heard people say that. You know who says that? People that aren't Christians. They're losers. Hey, that Christian's a loser. Man, they don't drink. They don't do drugs. They don't sleep around. Man, they're losers. Well, I got news for them. We're not the losers. We're not the losers. I've heard some young people say things like, really spiritual kids are losers. There are some kids in this group tonight that have risen above maybe a little bit in their Christianity. They have their Bible, they read it, they memorize it, they're going to church all the time, they're inviting people to come to church, and they're very active in their Christian life. And some people that aren't doing those things sometimes think they're a loser. Now, they don't really believe that. What they're doing is they're taking the pressure off of themselves. Because I'm not doing that, and because I don't participate in that, then I've got to degrade them. I've got to put them down so that I look better. And they'll get other people and say, oh, look at Mr. Goody Two-Shoes over there. He's studying the scripture verses again, and he's going to get all those points for his team. What a loser. Hey, we're out here playing soccer, or we're playing nine square, we're playing volleyball, we're having a great time, and he's over there reading his Bible. What a loser. I hope you'd never say that about anybody that wants to be spiritual. And I hope that you never think that just by putting on that spiritual air that you really are spiritual. A spiritual person does those things because they love the Lord and they're excited about the things that they're doing. Young people tonight, you might think you're a loser. You might think, I don't fit in with the group at my church. I don't fit in with some of the kids at this camp. And so I'm a loser. And I've heard people say that. I'm a loser. I want you to know, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no losers. There's no losers. Tonight, you might be awkward and you might have a difficult time, and maybe you don't have some of the social skills, and maybe you need somebody just to help you with those things. But I'll tell you tonight, there's not a loser in this room tonight unless you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you're the loser. And I'll show you that in just a moment. I want to tell you something. You live for Christ. You look like, and by the way, there's a way that a Christian ought to look. You know that tonight? Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
You ought to look different. You ought to look different. Now, we get this idea that if I look different, then I'm going to look dumb, or I'm going to look stupid, or I'm going to look old-fashioned, or I'm going to look, you know, like the Amish or something. We get this idea, if I try to live a Christian standard, could I tell you that some of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my life are good, godly women? Can I tell you that some of the most handsome young men that I've ever seen in my life are young men that live for God and want to serve God and simply put their appearance forward in the things of God? Hey, listen, tonight, to live that standard of Christianity and look like a Christian, clean cut, sharp, shoulders back, eyes forward, head up. You ever notice how many people walk around with their heads down today? You ever notice that? A lot of people walk like this. Discouraged and heavy burdened. Christian ought not look like that. Man, we ought to have a positive, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got the hope of eternal life. I've got the most wonderful world in my world. The song that these young ladies sang. We've got a godly heritage. We've got good parents. We've got a wonderful country. We've got food to eat. We've got everything we could ever imagine. Hey, listen, could I take you to Haiti tonight? I know we've got some fellows here that came from Haiti. Could I tell you about Haiti? It's the poorest place in the Western Hemisphere. And I know those folks from Haiti love their country, and they ought to love their country, but I'll tell you what, it's a hard place. They've had a difficult time. Can I take you to the Philippines tonight, the poorest nation in the Eastern Hemisphere? Can I tell you that there's great poverty there? I saw people living on a railroad track. I saw families that lost children because their children would run out onto the tracks as the train was coming and were killed. Can I tell you that I've seen in those countries people pick up garbage off the street and eat it because that's all they had? Can I tell you that they carried little babies with swollen bellies and their children dying, begging for money? Can I tell you tonight, we live in a great place. We're not losers. Can I tell you that as Christians, we ought to dress like Christians? You know, we need to get on them again. We've kind of let that thing go a little bit. Christian ought to dress different than the world. Can I tell you the world's dress? It's cheap. It's plastic. It's imitation. And guys, I want to tell you, a lot of times we get fooled by that. Guys, girls, can I tell you something tonight? Would you listen to me? Guys are dumb. Now, except for two guys in this room, Dr. Carter and me, all right? Everybody else? Oh. And I sometimes wonder about me. We're dumb. Guys, you know it. Now, girls, I want you to know that there are a lot of guys that struggle today because girls don't dress like Christians. Christian girls. You know why? Because they want to be popular. They want to be accepted by the world. They want some guy to look at them. They want to get some attention. Can I tell you that if that's what a guy's looking for, and that's the attention that you're trying to draw, you're the loser. You don't want that kind of guy. You want a guy that looks at you and looks at your inner self and looks at your personality, looks at your walk with the Lord and says, that's a godly woman. That's somebody I want to spend the rest of my life with. That's somebody that'll raise my children, who'll be proper and who'll stay faithful to me the rest of my life. That's what a guy's looking for. And you're not going to get that advertising the way of the world. The world gets it. I mean, I got a guy just started coming to church. He's just been out to three services. His name's Scott Abel. And Scott Abel came at the request of one of our young ladies that comes to church, and she's not the model Christian, but she comes, and I think she's trying, but she's encouraged this guy to come. And when young people come to our church, our young people sit in the first three pews of our church. The guys sit on this side and the girls sit on this side. And this young lady is about 18 years old. She's just graduated from high school. And so she went down and she sat with our young girls. And this guy said, where do I sit? I said, you can sit wherever you want. He's a little bit older. I think he's 21. I said, you can sit wherever you want. He says, I've never been to church before. I have no idea where to sit. He said, preacher, you got to help me. He said, I have no idea what to wear to church. I said, you are the very best that you've got. You're coming before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, should I wear a tie? I said, if you've got one. He said, should I wear a suit? I said, if you've got one. I said, if the best you've got is a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, get them clean and press them and come to church. He said, preacher, why do I have to wait till I get married to have a physical relationship with this girl? I said, Scott, let me tell you why. And I went through and I showed him the Bible and showed him what God said about a man setting himself apart and a woman setting herself apart. I said, now, Scott, every man, tell me if this isn't true, every man wants to marry a girl who's never been with another man. And here's what he said. Preacher, there aren't any girls like that anymore. We were having an activity Sunday night. He came to that. It was our college and career. And I said, Scott, I said, there are 18 girls at this activity tonight. I said, I want you to know, I know for a fact that at least 90% of them or better. And I said, I can't tell you 100% because I don't know all the girls that are here real well. But I said, I can tell you that at least 90%, and I counted them. I said, 90 of them have never been with a man. He couldn't believe it. He could not believe it. Now, I know I've been a Christian a long time and been married a long time. I want to tell you, that's a very sad statement if that's true. Young people, how many of you say tonight, preacher, that's a pretty true statement. There are not many left like that anymore. Raise your hand for me tonight. You know it, and I know it too. Hey, why would there be when everything we watch on television and everything we watch in video and everything we listen to and everything that's promoted by some of the singers of this day all talk about having that physical relationship, or if you don't have that physical relationship, you're a loser. Why wouldn't we be doing that? Can I say it's very sad that people get their self-esteem by giving themselves away, guys and girls both? Can I tell you tonight that you can keep yourself and you can have a wonderful relationship with a person of the opposite sex someday? Some of you are going to say, Pastor Stone, I've already given that away. I've already done that. I'm going to talk about that this week. You're not done. You're not wasted. You're not over. There's still chances for you to make a great life in Christ. Hey, you know, we ought to witness like Christians. I was sitting in a restaurant in St. Thomas, my hometown there, Ontario. And Saturday we got together and had some visitation. And preacher, I love coming to the States because a lot of times when I go to a restaurant, I will see other people bow their head and pray for their meal. And you know, I've got to tell you, in the northern states, that doesn't happen near as much. It's sad. I don't know why it is, but in the north, people just aren't so apt to do that. And so we, in Canada, we do it. I do it all the time. So I bowed my head and I said, fellas, I had about six guys with me. Let's pray. And I said, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for this food we're about to partake of. And I said, I prayed you bless our day and our efforts to tell others of Christ. And I got done and said, amen. And this guy came over and he said, hey, did you just pray? I said, yes, sir, I sure did. I thought, this is great, man. Guy saw me pray. He's all excited. He's going to be a Christian guy. He said, you ought not be doing that. So what are you talking about? He said, the Bible says that you're supposed to pray in secret. Jesus said you're supposed to pray in a closet. And my associate said, Jesus prayed in front of 5,000 men and women and children not included in that number. Probably 10 or 15,000 people. He said, well, you go around here preaching your gospel. You tell people about Jesus and the Bible and it's full of controversy and all these different things. I mean, he was right upset. But I'll tell you what, that's not going to stop me from praying in public. That's not going to stop me from inviting people to know Jesus Christ. He went on and ran at a rave for a little bit, and finally I had all I could take, and the Baptist preacher came out of me, and I said, buddy, I want to tell you something else the Bible says. The Bible says, answer not a fool in his folly. So if you'll just shut up for a minute, I want to tell you that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I accepted him as a child, and I've lived my whole life for Jesus Christ, and I love Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heaven someday, and I'm going to have the hope of eternal life. I'm not going to be cast into a pit of hell forever for rejecting the things of Jesus Christ. And mister, I want to tell you that all of us have done that, and we love Jesus Christ, and we're not changing. He got mad and walked away. Wow. Buddy, I want to tell you what, we need to be a witness of the things of Jesus Christ. Some of you have gone to a public school, you've lived in a neighborhood, you've worked with other people, and you've never one time told them about Jesus Christ. You have never one time stood up and said, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Not one time have you said to the boss, I can't work Sunday, I got to go to church. I can't pitch, coach. I got to go to church. I can't go to cheerleading camp. I got to go to church. Why can't we make that stand today, young people? Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Because your parents won't take that stand sometimes. And I don't get disappointed in you. I get disappointed in them. Your parents ought to stand up and say, my kid's not doing that. I had a coach one time, my daughter was about 7 years old and she was playing softball. She stunk. My daughter is not an athlete. My Allison, she's gorgeous. She if she was in the world, she could be a model. I mean, she's absolutely beautiful. I'll show you some pictures later this week. I mean, she's tall, she's beautiful. And the coach said, now Allison, you're going to be playing Sunday. And she said, no coach, I can't. 7 years old, I can't. And one of the other girls on the team said, I can't because I go to church with Allison. And the coach said, oh, that's ridiculous. You can miss one Sunday. It won't hurt you to miss one Sunday. I heard that coach say that. I went over there, and usually I'm pretty polite to ladies. I said, lady, you shut up right now. You are not going to say that to those girls. Those girls are going to church. It is important. We love the things of Christ, and those girls will miss baseball. It's a game. Church is life. Hey, if your parents won't do it, you do it. Some of you guys, you got a dad who lives vicariously through you. He didn't get to play football the way you play football. And man, he wants you to go all the way, and you're going to play in the NFL, and then maybe you'll end up killing some people and go to prison. Or maybe you'll take all the money that you've earned, and you'll go bet on some dogs fighting, and then you'll go to prison. Or maybe you'll get a truckload of money and you'll use drugs and blow your mind on drugs and never be able to play again. Boy, what a great life. I'll tell you what, I'll take a Joseph preaching the gospel any day over a professional football player. See, but what about Tim Tebow? What about Tim Tebow? a good guy. But you know what? He made a stand, but you know what the world did? They belittled him and belittled him and belittled him. Now it's almost a joke. Oh yeah, Tim Tebow, he's been traded 3 times. He'll never play. Yeah, where's his God now? You know, I wish Tim Tebow would just become a preacher. I have a son who's a wonderful baseball player. Man, the kid can really pitch. Thought he'd like to play in the big league someday. And I said, son, really think about it. As a Christian, you really think that's a place for a Christian to be? He said, but Dad, then I could be like famous and people would listen to me. I said, son, people won't listen to you because you're famous. They'll listen to you because you're impassioned. And they'll listen to you because you speak. There are a lot of so-called Christian athletes who claim to be Christian athletes that don't speak. They get that microphone in front of their face and they talk about the game they had and all the wonderful things. And they might say, praise God, praise Jesus. That's all they say. Man, you get me a microphone, 10 million people watching. I'd say, hey, I want to tell you today's game was brought to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the soul winner of all mankind. He wants you to go to heaven. Man, they wouldn't interview me again. They don't interview Tim Tebow anymore, do they? When's the last time you heard him? Hey, it was a novelty for a while in the world that, oh, this is great, Mr. Chris. Where is he now? They don't want to hear him. There was a comic that came out a few months ago that, you'll have to forgive me, I'm not a big basketball fan because, number one, I am white. Number two, I'm from Canada. Number three, I'm fat. So the only thing you're going to see me dunk is a donut. That's it, all right? That's all I dunk. All right, that's it. Who was the big basketball player who came out and said, I'm gay? Who was that guy? Do you know what I'm saying? Jason Collins? Collins? There was a big article that came out, and they had a picture of this basketball player, and they had a guy with a microphone put it up there, and he says, my name is Jason, say it again? Collins. Jason Collins, and I'm a homosexual. And he's like, tell me more. And there's Tim Tebow, and the guy with the microphone staying there, and he says, I'm Tim Tebow, and I'm a Christian. He goes, shut up. The world wants to hear about the homosexual. Oh, wonderful professional athlete that's come out as a homosexual. How wonderful. And here's the guy who says, I grew up in a Christian home and love Jesus Christ, and I want to serve Jesus Christ. We don't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to hear that. But I'll tell you what, the world needs to hear about Christ. And young people, if you're not telling them, who's going to tell them? I want you to know I'm going to be 50 years old in August. You can send your presents to 320 Highbury Avenue, St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. But I want you to know something. There are young people in this world that you're going to be able to reach, girls, that I can't reach. Because I'm a man, number one. Number two, because I don't understand girls. Fellas, I want to tell you, we're dumb, but we don't understand women. Amen? We don't get it. We don't understand you. We're not going to understand you. You're crazy. You change. We get it all figured out. We think, okay, now I know how to make her happy. And then we go to sleep, and in the morning, a whole different woman is there. Can I have a witness? Yeah. I wake up in the morning. Hello, honey. Say, honey, what? You didn't say I love you first. Okay. You women are whacked, all right? Wow. I want to tell you something. Joseph, there's some people that you can win to Jesus Christ that I'm not going to be able to win. And sadly, it's because of the color of our skin. I know racism is a big thing today. And there's racism everywhere. We have it. Let's be honest, eh? Eh? That's Canadian, eh? Say that with me, eh? Okay, good. All right. We say that in place of, isn't it, all right? It doesn't matter. It can be black, Hispanic, white, Chinese. I don't care. We're different. And we have differences. Let's face that. So there's some people that might say, hey, I'm not going to listen to that white preacher, but they'll listen to a black one. And there might be some white people say, I'm not going to listen to a black preacher. They'll listen to a white one. Hey, let's all team up on them. We'll take all the nationalities we've got, and we'll get them all. Get them all. They won't listen to me. They might listen to you. Hey, they might say, I'm not going to listen to that old man. He says, hey, I don't want to listen to that old man. Say that. Oh, he said it. Now I got to beat you up. Come on. No, I'm kidding. I made you say it. They might say that. They might say, I don't want to listen to a Canadian. I want to listen to an American. Hey, whatever their excuse might be, let's put all those excuses by simply being a witness of Jesus Christ. Let's have ladies witness to ladies. Let's have men witness to men. Let's have black witness to black. Black witness to white. White witness to Mexican. It doesn't matter. We're all people. We all need Christ, and we all have souls. And you know what? When you get past the skin to the soul, it's all the same color. It's all the same. It's all the same thing. And young people, if we're going to be winners in this world, we're going to have to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Titus 2:14. Look at it. We've been a long time coming to this. I'm going to be real short here. Give you a long introduction for a short message. Titus 2:14. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The word peculiar is defined as being beyond usual, special, one's own. You know what that is? That's weird. That's weird. That's beyond what other people expect. Somebody says something, that's weird. That's different. That's unusual. That person is their own person. That person doesn't follow the norm. We say, that's weird. Folks, you're not a loser. If you're a Christian who loves God and wants to serve God, you're a weirdo. That's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing, because it tells us in verse 14 that Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us or buy us back from all iniquity or sin and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Jesus Christ wants us to be a weirdo. He wants us to be special and different from everything else in this world. He wants to look at us and say, there's somebody who's unique. There's somebody who's different from this world. And why are we unique? And why are we different? Not because of ourselves, because of him. That sets us apart. Now I want you to do this for me. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. Just help me out for a second. Just 1 second. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you tonight would say, Brother Stone, I am, without a question, a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you slip your hand up all over this auditorium? Hold it way up. Hold it way up. Only if you mean it. Please be honest. Please be honest. If you're not, don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up if you're not. If you're not a born-again believer, you're not saved, you've never been born again. All right, God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, help me this way. This is a tough one. Brutally honest time. How many of you say, Brother Stone, I am not a Christian. I'm not born again. I've never received Christ. I really don't know what it is. I've never had that opportunity. Or maybe you have and you've just said, I'm not ready for that. How many would be honest enough to slip their hand up and say, Brother Stone, I am not a Christian? Would you slip your hand up all over this auditorium and say, I'm not a Christian? Thank you so much. God bless you. You can put it back down. Are there others? I'm not a Christian. I'm not born again. I've never received Christ. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Be honest. Be honest. Anybody else? All right, thank you. All right, look up here if you would. So, we had one person that raised their hand and said, I'm not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. My prayer is that by the end of this week, you will be a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to approach you. I'm not going to force you. I'll be honest with you. With this crowd of people and people moving about, I'm going to forget who it is. So all of you are telling me that you are born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know that. You're sure of that. That's what you see. We can tell he's been sucking it since he was 12. I'd know that wrinkle anywhere. Honey. We don't have the money. And somebody hears on the news that Nathaniel's been taken. And say, we want to help you. We have $5 million. We want to give it to you to get your son back. And they give the $5 million, and I let Nathaniel go, and he is restored to his loving mother. Oh. Welcome home, son. There you go. Nice. Okay, okay. It's not that close a family, all right? What happened? You can be seated, Nathaniel. What happened? He was redeemed. He was redeemed. He was purchased back. The price was paid. Jesus said, I paid the price for you. How did he do it? He died on the cross of Calvary. He gave his life, not $5 million. He gave his life so that you could have the hope of eternal life. He did that. Young people, in that finished state, he declares them a peculiar people. What's the definition of peculiar again? Being beyond usual, special, one's own. You are God's own. You are God's child. You are God's possession. God purchased you with his own life. And he says that makes you special. That makes you unique. And listen tonight, for those of you who are thinking, I don't feel special and I don't feel unique and I don't feel like anybody loves me and I don't think I fit in and I don't think I'm very pretty or I don't think I'm very handsome and I'm not very sports-minded and nobody's going to care for me. I want you to know tonight, God loves you. God thinks you peculiar tonight. He thinks you a weirdo tonight. And that's a good thing because he wants you to be that. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one, and you are one's own, Jesus's. Second thing, if you're a committed Christian, you're not a loser. You're a weirdo. Did you know that there are degrees of Christianity? The higher you go, the fewer there are. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. There are degrees of Christianity. Some of you are going to be a good Christian. You're going to go to church, and you're going to read your Bible a little bit, and you're going to pray. Then there are going to be some that go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, camp meeting. You're going to be passing out flyers. That's great. Then there are going to be some that go beyond that. They're going to do all of those things, and then they're going to be an avid soul winner, and they're going to be preaching the gospel as much as they can, and they're going to be bringing people to church. They're going to be going crazy for Christ. Degrees of Christianity. Sadly, most young people quit before they reach the top. Young people tonight, if I could somehow give you a pill, if I could give you something to drink that would make you super Christians, I'm telling you, Florida tonight, let's just take Florida tonight. Florida needs Christ. Now, I know this is a very touchy thing, and I'm going to say it as an outsider, so please understand me. Very horrible case just went on here in Florida. And there's very opposing ideas of that whole thing. I want to tell you tonight, the whole matter of that, very sad, lives have been ruined. On both sides, lives have been ruined. I wonder tonight if some of that might have been stopped if there were more Christians in the state of Florida. I don't know all the facts, and I don't know if we'll ever know all the facts, but I know this. There was a man in his neighborhood who was trying to protect his neighborhood from thieves. You know, if we got some people saved and they quit stealing, it would be less thieves. You know there's a huge drug problem in Florida? Did you know that? Of course you do, because you live amongst it. You think if we could get some people saved and off crack cocaine and get them off marijuana and get them off booze and get them off all the things of this world, do you think it might be a better place to live? Absolutely. We need Christians. Say, oh, we need politicians. We need Christians. Governments don't change countries. Christians change countries through revival. Sadly, young people lose out on the tremendous blessings of continuing on, blessings like a great marriage. Young people, if you'll take what you're getting this week and carry that on in your life, I'm telling you what, you'll find you a great mate, you'll find God's perfect mate in your life, and you will love them, and you'll have a wonderful marriage. You're going to have some hardships and some difficulties, and you're going to have some fights once in a while, but when it comes right down to it, you're going to love each other, and you're going to give your lives committed to the things of Christ. You stop now. You could miss out on that. You can miss out on having some great kids. I have three wonderful kids. I have Kayla, who's 23 years of age. She's an adorable girl. I love her with all my heart. She is spunky. She's a fighter. She's a lot like her dad in a lot of ways. Then I've got my son. He's about 6'2", skinny as a rail, good looking. I don't know where he came from. And then I've got Allison. She's the youngest. She's like her mother. She is sweet and kind and loving. I mean, it's just wonderful. You know, those kids have never given me a moment's trouble. You say, oh, you've been lucky. No, I raised them in the things of Christ, and I gave them over to Jesus Christ, and I pray every day that Jesus Christ holds on to them, and their mother's a wonderful woman who's taught them and given them the things of life. I want to tell you that we've got wonderful children, but if we'd have quit when we were teenagers, or if we'd quit when we got married, we wouldn't have that today. I know it. A wonderful church family, an unbelievable help in the time of trouble. And the reason they quit is because they don't give thought to those things of being a loser or a weirdo. By their unsaved or spiritually weak friends, they are drawn away from the things of God and leave being a weirdo and become a loser.
Listen to the preacher now. There's one thing this world has to offer. I'm sorry, I should say that again. There's not one thing that this world has to offer that is better than being a great Christian. Nothing. I'm going to read this letter and then I'm going to quit.
I got this letter a few weeks ago. It says, "Dear Pastor, thank you for writing me. I have tears streaming down my face reading your letter after seeing you in January. I knew I had to start coming to church again, not only for myself, but for Ava, a little girl, and Andrew, her common-law boyfriend. I felt like if I came back to Bible Baptist, I would be judged by everyone that knew me from before and what I was going through, so I started going to my grandparents' church, but I didn't feel like a good fit there. I went to another church, but the way they did things just didn't feel right, so I stopped going and gave up. That church is a contemporary church today. It's all music, very little preaching. Without God, I couldn't do this. Every day it's hard, but I thank Him for every day I'm here and alive. I go to church here because I feel hope. I feel like the little girl I was when my life didn't get flipped upside down and out of control. I felt closer to Him, even in an awful place like this. When I got your letter, I was thinking, it's funny that I don't care who's here and sees me go to church, even though some laugh at you in your face. But why couldn't I go back to Bible Baptist? I felt like I let you down. Now listen to this. I remember sitting in youth group one Sunday morning, and on that Sunday you said, you've seen so many teens leave and hit rock bottom before they came back, but they always come back. I sat in the class thinking, that would never be me. Oh boy, was I wrong. The girl that wrote that's name is Mandy. Mandy got into a relationship with an unsaved man. She began to drink. She began to do some drugs. She began to dress pretty much like a harlot, like a prostitute. She lived a very righteous life. And one night in the heat of the battle, she grabbed a knife and she began to stab that man. She stabbed him repeatedly, I don't know, 10, 12 times, put him in the hospital. Went to court, was found guilty of aggravated assault, lesser charge. She could have been charged with attempted murder. And she ended up going to prison. She's 23 years old. She's the same age as my oldest daughter. She has a daughter who is 2 years old who is at home waiting for her to come out of prison. Young people, she sat right where you're sitting tonight. She went to camp. She went to church. She had a Christian home. But she chose the things of this world. And she would tell you tonight, I'm a loser. My daughter that was in the same youth group, the same time, the same camps, the same things, now sings in our church, plays the piano in our church, teaches in a Sunday school class in our church. Now I'm not saying anything about me or my kids or anything else. I'm just telling you there's two girls from the same youth group. I could pick another name, but that's the one that's there. Kayla's a weirdo. Kayla's never drank. She's never done drugs. She's never slept with a boy. She's a weirdo. But she's in a great home and in a great church and a great place. Here's the loser sitting in prison crying because they should have went to church. I want you to pray for her. She'll get out next year sometime, and she's promised me that she'll come back to church, and we've promised her that as a church we'll receive her back and try to help her and help her family. She made a bad mistake. Young people tonight, you might say, that'll never happen to me. You get in the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you. If you're a completed Christian, you're not a loser. You're a weirdo. There are five things you must do if you're going to be a complete Christian. If you miss just one, you're not complete. You might be a good Christian, but you won't be a great Christian. Here they are. If you have a pen, write them down. Number one, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. Read a little bit, read a lot, read something every day. Number two, pray regularly. Pray regularly. Read your Bible every day, pray regularly. Every one of you ought to have a prayer time. Before you go to bed tonight, you ought to spend some time with the Lord. Maybe at the conclusion of this service, you better spend some time with the Lord. You need to go to church consistently. Three times or more a week. If you're going to be a great Christian, you're going to go Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday church, you're going to go Sunday night. You're going to go Wednesday night. You're going to go to special meetings. You're going to go to camp.